Nice to catch up with a friend. Rudy Martsky joins us on Sports Byline. And for 23 years, beginning in 1982, Rudy authored the most influential sports broadcast column for the USA Today. His widely read critiques covered a period when network television was still in its heyday. Through the eruption of cable, the dominance of ESPN, and the early days of digital video. And Rudy's column was often what broadcast executives, producers, announcers, and television fans read first. His assessment of the image-conscious networks would often result in upgrades or downgrades of announcer assignments and even firings. And it was often joked that when Rudy sneezed, the networks wanted to know how bad his cold was.
Well, that's a little exaggeration, but I just worked hard at this, as you mentioned there, the first 23 years of USA Today. And I had previous careers as a sports writer in other places and also was with four NBA and ABA teams in front office positions.
Why were you so successful, so powerful, and so feared?
Well, I'll tell you this. I got to know a lot of the people in the business. Many of them actually taught me how to actually detect that somebody was, outstanding or messing up. And so I learned a lot from those people. I would go off to a lot of sports events and sit in the trucks at sometimes, the TV trucks, and learn from how they handled things in a truck. Let alone just being in press boxes, but also spending, let's say, a couple of days meeting everybody that was either broadcasting or behind the scenes.
Rudy, tell me a little bit about the curve on television sports over the years. I mentioned about 23 years, 1982, and you know where we are today. But tell me a little bit about the curve, how things have changed.
Well, now there's so much more intense scrutiny of there's many people now doing columns or intense scrutiny of how, let's say, announcers come across, how the game is telecast. I could watch still on weekends right now, which I don't do the column anymore, but every now and then send out to a network saying, hey, I like this, or you kind of screwed up there, and you got to watch this or that. But I enjoy reading all these other columns by guys right now and comments because most of them are really on the ball.
You know, when you talk about people, as I pointed out, and I think most people who read your column knew that it was the first thing that people turned to, particularly in our profession. And there were people that were stung badly by things that you would say. And I really felt that most of the time you were right on the mark with what you had to say. But when you have an ego to be in this business and you need to have that, some people took it badly. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with Howard Cosell.
Well, Howard was still going pretty strong he was kind of starting to go near the end of his the height of his career, but Howard, a lot of people didn't notice about him, but he had the thinnest skin that I probably ever dealt with, and he would be at there was a time that I think it was we were based in Washington. And so I did read the Washington Post every day. And another guy that was one of the columnists, a guy named Lenny Shapiro, was the Post's TV sports columnist at the time. And he wrote something about Howard. There was a thing that was called the Little Monkey. And Howard got a lot of static for that. But he did it to me too. There was a time when we were, let's say at one of the horse races and I think it was the Preakness, and Howard didn't like what I wrote about it and wouldn't talk to me.